Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Hey, happy Monday. Hope you guys are all enjoying a lovely ride inside your cars. Hope you're all out of work and on your way home. Hope you all had a happy weekend as well. Magic getting set for a 7:30 tip time tonight as they get set to take on the Boston Celtics in a city that I think right now that if you were to sit down and you were to analyze the sports scene going on in Beantown, I think the Celtics might honestly be the third top story happening in Boston. Think about it. Patriots are another team in the top of the AFC. Oh, they have a team that they love in the Boston Red Sox getting set for a World Series appearance that starts tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Boston Celtics are just a ho-hum, already 2-1. They're a titan in the Eastern Conference, and they're getting set to begin what could be a magical run through the winter. So it's amazing to think about right now if you're a Boston sports fan. Meanwhile, the Orlando Magic, they close out their two-game road swing tonight as they visit those same Celtics. It's a team that, over the course of the last seven contests, the C's have had the Magic's number. And in fact, you have to go all the way back to January of last year, the last time the Magic won a game in the TD Garden. This is a Celtics team that has notoriously had Orlando's number. So the question tonight, can they rebound? Can they get back on track? And can they come home Thursday with a win under their belt against a very good Boston Celtics team? If we didn't mention it, my name is Aaron Berlin. Special thanks to our producer today. His name is Cody Clark. He'll get you set. Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe will join us here in about a matter of 30 seconds to a minute to talk about the sports scene that's happening in the great state of Massachusetts right now, as well as what is going on with this Boston Celtics team. A lot of interesting nuggets through the first week of the season. We'll touch on that coming up here in just a matter of moments. Just a reminder, Orlando Magic fans, the Magic do have a new podcast. It is the Orlando Magic Pod Squad, and a new episode dropped just last week. This one covered opening night and what it meant inside the Amway Center, why Mo Bamba's debut was so important for this team moving forward, and just what the ceiling of this Magic team is. Now, how are you going to get it? You're going to go to iTunes or Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, and search Orlando Magic Radio. It is Orlando Magic Pod Squad. All right, let's go up to Boston, where I'm scratching my head right now as we are joined by Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. He does a great job covering the Celtics team as well as nationally the NBA for the Boston Globe. And I'll tell you what, Gary, I'm scratching my head right now because I can't remember a city with this much going on as far as the sports scene right now. With how good the Red Sox are, they're set to make a World Series appearance tomorrow. The Patriots are another top contender in the AFC. I feel like the Celtics are the third story in town right now.
Yeah, it pretty much is because right now it's a Red Sox town. It's a Red Sox and Patriots town, generally. They kind of tie it up, you know, but with the Celtics, you know, doing so well, they're a close third at this point. But since it's so early in the season and the Red Sox are in the World Series, the Patriots are trying to make a run in the AFC again, as usual. They're not quite the big story yet simply because it's so early.
I was going to say, we should kind of recircle back once April comes around and then we'll talk about it. All right, I do want to ask you one quick thing before we go on about the NBA. Just the World Series gets underway tomorrow night at Fenway Park. What is the vibe right now around the city of Boston? I mean, everyone should have expected this. The Red Sox were a 108-win team of the regular season. It was almost like throughout the course of the postseason, nobody gave them much of a chance against the Yankees or the Astros, but yet they run roughshod over them. What's the vibe right now in Boston with that team?
Well, I think there's a high level of excitement. I was a little bit surprised. I think that whenever you have Yankee Sox, there's some, you know, obviously excitement and anticipation, but also nervousness simply because those are two rivals, and you think, hey, the Yankees have such a great lineup with Stanton and Judge and, you know, just all those guys that, you know, Sanchez, that they could win that series pretty easily. And the fact that when they split in Boston, you know, it was like, uh-oh, they might go home and take two. But the Red Sox held court, you know, won both games. And then the Astros, I think people privately thought that the Astros were just a better team. They just had a little rougher regular season, but defending champions, They won game one, and so no one expected the Sox to go and just win the next four. So I think people feel like this is a special team. This is the last step, you know, but I think there's a lot of kind of also nervousness about the Dodgers. You just don't know what to expect from a team that has kind of, you know, not played as consistently, but made big plays and had some big moments to get to the series. So I think people are really excited about this series. I'm sure television is very excited about a LA-Boston series as opposed to a Boston-Milwaukee series. So I think everybody's ready to go.
I was going to say, you got two big markets vying for the league's top prize. Real quick, Dave Roberts will make his return to Boston in the World Series. Everyone remembers what he did in that 2004 American League Championship Series. What do you think the reception for him will be like when he is announced as the skipper for the Dodgers tomorrow night?
That'll be a hearty round of applause. In Boston, they don't forget that. They don't forget their heroes, whether it be, you know, the David Ortiz and the Ted Williams and the all-time greats of the Red Sox, or the guys who just made one play, one big catch, you know, made one big pitch or got a big out or whatever to win a game to help and win a series or win something. So I think Dave Roberts will always go to history as one of the, you know, one of the great moments in Sox history, because obviously he was the first World Series in 86 years. He stole an important base, and it's funny, it's just a stolen base if you really think about it, but it was one of the bigger stolen bases in team history. So, yeah, he'll get a hearty round of applause until that first pitch.
Absolutely. That stolen base essentially kind of turned the tide of that series. But, okay, let's talk about this Boston Celtics team, because there's a lot right now. We're only a week into the season. But, you know, I kind of sat down and I analyzed those first three games for the Celtics. And, you know, they were kind of all over the place. A little bit of a roller coaster of a ride for the Seas for their first three games. They blow out Philly on opening night. They go up to Toronto and play well, but can't quite get it done against the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard. And then they go to New York and play a very tight game against a rebuilding Knicks team. I guess it was three games against three divisional foes, but what was your take from week one after watching this Seas team?
This is a little bit of a rocky start to the season. I mean, they looked really good in many ways against Philadelphia, and they were able to win that game pretty handily without major contributions from Gordon Hayward or Kyrie Irving. Both had off shooting nights. So it felt good. And then in Toronto, I think that they felt like there was kind of a statement game, but the Raptors pull away in the fourth quarter, kind of a late 10-0 run to make it, you know, to pull away. The score was a little wider than the game really was. It wasn't a 12-point game. It was just the last 3 minutes. But I think they came, had their, you know, egos bruised a little bit in that game. And the New York game, you know, the one thing that I've noticed about the Knicks, they play so hard. They're going to play hard. They're going to be a good team. They're in the right direction in New York. This is going to take some time. So, you know, but they play extremely hard. They're playing, you know, rugged. And, you hope, if you're a Knicks fan, that lasts. You know, sometimes those close losses get discouraging. As you guys know, in Orlando in January and February, the team that played really hard in the first half of the season kind of lets go in the second half. But they were able to get that win. So I think tonight, I think Brad Stevens understands it was a very tough game. You know, the Magic are a team that not a lot of people really have talked about over the offseason because they didn't make a lot of moves. They drafted, you know, Mo Bamba. They got Isaac. I mean, they are big up front. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, they got forwards and centers, you know, plenty, you know, but you got it. There's not a team people were talking about because they didn't really sign a free agent. They didn't make a big splash. You know, they hired a guy in Steve Clifford who, you know, probably could walk the streets of Orlando right now and not really get recognized. So, you know, I don't think they know what to expect, but I'm sure Brad Stevens will have them prepared because this is a team that, you know, they play Philadelphia well, probably should have won that game the other night, and I expect they're going to go in here and play tough tonight.
It should be fun inside the TD Garden right now, talking with Gary Washburn, who's of the Boston Globe. Does a great job covering this Celtics team as well as the rest of the NBA for him. You mentioned Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. And, you know, obviously Gordon Hayward missed the entirety of last season with that horrific injury. And then really Kyrie Irving, when you total it up, what he missed at the end of the regular season as well as the postseason was probably about 20 to 25 games. How hard has it been for this team to kind of integrate them back in offensively? And how much of a struggle after some of those younger guys got used to controlling the basketball to also for them to work these guys back in?
I think
I think both guys understand when they come back, the roles are going to be different. Kyrie is not going to be the dominant offensive player on this team because he doesn't have to be. He's got to distribute the ball, relegate the offense, run the offense. I think everyone understands around Boston, around the Celtics, that Jason Tatum has a chance to be a top five player in the league. And you can't sign that. You can't take the ball away from him. You can't limit his shots. He's going to have to develop and grow. And I think Irving understands that, Hayward understands, the team understands, but I don't think that's much of a debate. I don't think you're going to get arguments about shot attempts or how many or guys fighting over the ball or anything like that. It's just going to take time for one, a guy like Hayward to get his confidence back. Remember, he's an all-star caliber player in Utah, breaks his leg, missed the whole year. So it's going to take 3 to 4, you know, months, I think. Not for him to come back, but just to get back in the top form, all-star break, something like that, for him to really feel like he's back to normal. So it's a process. And Irving hadn't played since March, so he's missing some shots he usually makes. But he said the other night he understands that his role is different now, that he doesn't have to drop 25 a game. There's going to be 19 if he scores 12, but he gets 10 assists and the Celtics win. And I think that as long as the guys understand that the roles are changing and understand that Tatum is a talented player and so is Jaylen Brown, and this team has enough talent to really get to the finals, I think that they'll be fine. I don't think that they're going to have any issues or debates or situations with, like, you know, shot attempts and things like that.
Let's talk about Jason Tatum, because, you know, I thought that the ending of that game in New York was perplexing. It was interesting. But you also saw just how far this kid has come in a very short amount of time. It was like with a minute left, he misses a dunk, gets his own rebound, puts it back in, and then he commits kind of a questionable foul at the end. But yet at the end of the night, he ends up with about 24 points. He's led this team in scoring all season long. Granted, it's only 3 games. But how big of a phenomenon is this kid right now in Boston, and what do you see out of Jason Tatum?
Well, he came to the NBA as a polished offensive player. A lot of these guys that come to the NBA, and I'm sure, you know, of all the guys that have come to Orlando, even the Victor Oladipos and some of these guys that spent more than 1 year in college, I think you saw that they were a little bit raw, and they need work. You know, Aaron Gordon needed work on his offensive game. I'm sure Bamba will. I'm sure Jonathan Isaac will. Some of these young guys, they're athletic freaks, but they need to work on their game offensively. Tatum came in a more advanced level. It was like he took a year and went to the Paul Pierce school of just posting up and turning around in the mid-range. He was a polished offensive player already, and I think that caught everyone off guard of how polished he was. And so now you're looking at a guy who has a chance to be one of the great players in the league, and he's 20 years old. He doesn't turn 21 until March, so this is a guy who you just kind of cultivate. And you feed him the ball, you let him get better, and then suddenly in a year or two he becomes the centerpiece of your franchise along with Kyrie. So I think they're just letting him grow. I think that they were caught not completely by surprise. I think there's a reason why they traded down to draft him, but they were pleasantly surprised at how polished he was offensively and the smooth adjustment he made to the NBA, where a lot of one-and-dones have trouble with that adjustment.
Right now, talking with Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. All right, Gary, I will get you out on this one. And I know reporters don't like to make predictions, and I know you guys don't like to say too many things out of turn that you haven't covered. But if you were watching or if you were looking at this World Series tomorrow with the Red Sox as well as the Dodgers, who wins the series and in how many games?
I think that the Sox probably win the series in 6. It's going to be a great series, I think. I think the Dodgers are going to be relieved that they don't have to face that Brewers bullpen. Those guys are real tough, you know. And that Hayden guy and even Jeffries, who gave us the home run, they just came out and they have arms. The Sox don't have the same pin as the Brewers. I think the Dodgers will make it a series because of that. But I just think this is a special season in Boston. Some of the things that have happened, the 108 wins, you know, the catches, the plays. So I just think it's their year.
I was going to say, I remember watching Mookie Betts when he was at AAA in Pawtucket against the Scranton team that I was calling games for. And you just knew at that point that he was going to be a special player. Now, he wasn't in AAA very long, but you just knew that he was going to be special. And to see him on the big stage, that's going to be something to watch tomorrow night. Hey, Gary, thank you so much for taking the time and doing this. This was fantastic.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Anytime. That was Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Go check out his stuff. He does a great job covering the Celtics team as well as covering the NBA for them. Hey, just a reminder, Magic fans, don't miss your chance to be a part of history during the 30th anniversary season presented by Florida Hospital. See teams like the Los Angeles Lakers, the Boston Celtics, and the defending champion Golden State Warriors as they visit Amway Center. Get your seats now at OrlandoMagic.com. It's pure magic. On the other side, we take a look at the local five, starting five, and what they're going up against tonight. We'll talk about all that and more coming up around the bend. Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit five or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
People up front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Being how they play at both ends of the floor, you watch them play and everything makes sense. So no question, and their depth is you know, especially in this league, 82 games, depth is a big deal.
That is Orlando Magic head coach Steve Clifford talking about depth, how a lot of times when you watch teams and when you watch mostly successful teams, how are they good? Their second unit runs roughshod over yours. And that is one thing that over the course of this rebuild that Boston has gone through that they've really emphasized is that not only are they going to have a quality starting five, they're going to have a second five that can run you out of the building as well. And that is exactly what Boston has done throughout the course of their time there. Hey, welcome back. Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center rolls along. Magic and Celtics are getting set for a 7:30 tip time inside the TD Garden tonight. A preview of what's coming up on Magic Tonight, which is the network as well with Brandon Kravitz. They're going to talk about Nick Vucevic's triple-double, is the second of his career, how he is also kind of saw Al Horford and tried to model his game off of him. And then at 7:30, it'll be Dennis Newman on the Magic Radio Network. Should be a fun one inside the TD Garden. Now, about this Boston team, we just got done talking with Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe about it. But they overcame a handful of late mistakes by Jason Tatum in the game's final moments. Tatum drove, missed a dunk with about 38 seconds left, got his own rebound, put it back up and in, and then committed a careless foul with about a minute or about 1.4 seconds left to go on the clock. But despite that, he still tallies 24 points in the game. Gordon Hayward rested due to soreness that he experienced on Friday night after a loss in Toronto. So he is expected to be back in the starting five tonight. Magic are played today. They are off the next 2 days, and then they return back to the Amway Center on Thursday. Get your tickets at OrlandoMagic.com. All right, Cody, it is the Magic. It is the Celtics. Let's see what we got.
It's game night. Now let's break down tonight's Magic matchup.
Well, throughout the course of an NBA season, you play 82 contests, and it's unbelievable how fast and heavy they come early on. Right now, it is game number four for the Orlando Magic. It is road game number two as they close out a short swing through some of the Eastern Conference's Titan teams. It was Philly on Saturday night. It is Boston tonight, and then it's a return home against a very good Portland Trailblazers team. Meanwhile, for the Boston Celtics, they return home 2-1, 1-0 inside their home floor. It'll be interesting to see how they look tonight. Now, the point guard spot is one that's going to be a lot of fun to watch tonight. DJ Augustine will get the start once again for the Orlando Magic. It's his third year here, first year as the full-time starter. The other night against Philly, 9 points, 9 assists, 3 rebounds. And he has a load tonight. He goes up against the five-time All-Star Kyrie Irving at 6'3", 193 pounds. You heard Gary Washburn talk about it in that first segment. Kyrie Irving has been asked to take on a different role this year. You remember all those years with the Cavs when he was really asked to be a dominant ball hog and kind of score at will when LeBron didn't need him to? Now he doesn't have to do that. He has options, whether it's Gordon Hayward, whether it's Jason Tatum, whether it's Jaylen Brown. Oh, yeah. and a guy by the name of Al Horford. He has multiple guys that he can distribute the basketball for, and as he comes back from this knee injury, it should be interesting to see how they work him back in and how he continues to evolve with this basketball team. So it's DJ Augustine opposite of the 6'3", 193-pound Kyrie Irving. Okay, at the two-guard spot, this is where it gets really interesting. These two guys are kind of being asked to do different things for their team right now. Evan Fournier has 31 the other night against Philly. He finally seems to be getting his legs under him, and if the Magic are going to be successful, they need Evan Fournier to be at his absolute best. 6'7", 205 pounds. He goes opposite of one Jaylen Brown. Now, how are these guys opposite? Well, Jaylen Brown has been asked to kind of guard each team's best offensive player. Now, he is listed at the two-guard spot, but we might see him go up against Aaron Gordon tonight and try and check in. Jaylen Brown at 6'7", 220 pounds. He was all-rookie, second team his first year. Last year, 14.5 points per game, 4.9 rebounds, and 1.5 assists. This year, those numbers are down to about 10.5 per game this year. So some of the early foul troubles that he's gotten into and some of the shooting woes that he has had early on. At the three-guard spot, this is the one to put a star next to in your scorebooks tonight. It is Aaron Gordon against the young star and Jason Tatum. Tatum the other night, 24 points. He's averaging 21 for the year. In all three games, he has led this Boston team in scoring. It is tough to keep this young kid down. It is tough to check him, and it should be a lot of fun tonight. At the fourth spot, it's young Jonathan Isaac. He's going to get a lesson tonight going up against Gordon Hayward, who continues to try and find his footing. At 6'8", 225 pounds, Gordon missed the entirety of last season, played the season opener, played the front end of a back-to-back, did not play Saturday night in New York. After 2 days' rest, he is expected to go tonight. At the five spot, Nick Vucevic goes against Al Horford. And if you haven't seen it, there's a great story on Celtics.com about Nick Vucevic, about how he has modeled his game off Al Horford. It's worth a read. Go check it out. You can also go to OrlandoMagic.com as well, too. All right. I think we covered it all. Also, we're out of time, so I don't have anything else to say. That'll do it for us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. We're back at 7 o'clock with Magic tonight. Keep it locked right here on 96.9 The Game.
Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.